Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit TV show The Vampire Diaries. Except we're not doing that today. It's the summer holidays, so we're talking about Twilight.
Woo!
I'm here with my favourite co-host, Ellie.
Ooh.
Ouch!
And then we are also joined with our other co-host who could rival Edward Cullen's creepy stare. It's Alice.
I will be giving you this creepy stare now. I've been demoted. That's so
good. At what point do they stop being fun facts and start being crippling insults?
That's a great question.
I think a while ago.
I got so excited with that intro. Oh, how fun. Sorry, Al.
I'm just being mean. Sorry.
It's meant with love.
I don't know if that one was. Anyway, it's the summer, so we're going to talk about everyone's favourite summertime movie, Twilight. 2007's Twilight.
I will say, the UK is giving off some serious Forks weather vibes today.
Definitely. It's so dark and gloomy.
A vampire would be fine here.
No sparkles here.
Twilight or Vampire Diaries, that's the show we talk about. Sorry, ignore me. My brain's gone on holiday.
Okay, this is new for us. We've not talked about a film before. We don't know how to do it. We're all learning together.
We are.
Anyway, we'll start with asking, what's your relationship with Twilight? How do you feel about it? How do you feel looking at it as a 27-year-old woman?
Do you want to go out?
Go for it. I don't mind. Okay, I can go.
Do you want to go? And you went, I don't mind.
First of all, the fact that you said as a 27-year-old woman scares the life out of me. But otherwise, Twilight.
Alice has just recently turned 27. Yeah.
It's all new to me. But Twilight, so I read the books before seeing the film. I think probably all of us did.
True fans here.
And the books, I have to admit, I was on the train. They were such a hit with me. I loved them.
I was just going to say, how did you feel about the rewatch, like watching it again now compared to when you first read or watched it?
So I think when I first ever watched it, so when I first read it, I felt I loved it. When I first watched it, I didn't love it. So I far preferred the books to the films. But I do think the films took on such a kind of, not such a following that even the books didn't have originally. I think, you know, when as a teenager watching it and you're thinking, oh gosh, isn't this romantic? And I think where you watch it now, I think you're watching it through a very different lens. I think, I mean, obviously the relationships in the...
You think some people should be arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very, some very toxic relationships, some awful behaviour. But yeah, it's an interesting watch.
Did you enjoy watching it?
I did for the nostalgia value, and also we'll go on to this later in the episode, but we watched this as a house with our other housemate last year, and well, it might have even been the year before at this rate, but we all had a great time. We had some drinks, we made up some drinking rules, so I feel kind of the nostalgia and the sort of community of it all. I think watching it by yourself is definitely a different experience to watching it as a group.
What about you, Ellie? What's your relationship with the Twilight franchise?
Yeah, same. So I read the books before I saw the film. Freaking loved going to the cinema to watch the films when they came out, because my mum was a Twilight mum, and we'd go with our family friends, and the two mums would get like, have a few wines, and me and my friend, we were like 13, 14 at the time, I think. So obviously we weren't drinking, but it was just like so hyper. It was so fun going to like the cinema when it had just come out, and everyone was like screaming at a shirtless Jacob and all of this, and it was like hilarious. Absolutely loved it. Watching it back, I'm like, yeah, these people should be arrested. This is so messed up. I was always team Jacob, and in my head I'm like, what was I thinking? But then also, what was anyone thinking to be team Edward at any point for any of these relationships?
Yeah, I'm team none of these people.
Literally, I'm like, you should all just be... I think, Catherine, you've made like valid points before when you've spoken about it, and you were like, Bella's insane, Edward's insane, like they should be, that works.
They need to be taken out of the dating pool to not affect everyone else. So let's couple those people up and then the rest of us will be safe.
Yeah. It's very messed up. Like, I've got a lot in my notes. It's a lot of things. We can get onto it, but there's a lot of questions. God, it's a fun time at the same time. That's my relationship with Twilight. What's yours?
I fucking love Twilight. So I actually think, like, as a teen and tween, I did like it, but I have, if it isn't clear from this podcast, I think I have like a semi-obsessive personality where I get like very much like very, very into things. Funnily enough, when I was like 13, it wasn't Twilight. I liked it. I read the books. I saw the film, but it was never like my number one go-to. And then I don't know what's happened throughout my life, but every year I love Twilight more and more. And it's gotten to the point in my life where genuinely bad things happen to me and I turn to Twilight to soothe the wounds. So like, I won't go into it, but like real genuine issues that I have personally and professionally, I then like read the entirety of Midnight Sun to cope with it. So like, I just have such a weird relationship with the franchise now, also of watching it together and having like the funnest time. But I don't know what's happened to me, but the Twilight Renaissance has hit me hard.
Oh, the watching it all together and doing the drinking games was like the most fun ever had in ages. And I was going to say, yeah, you're the only one of the three of us who's read Midnight Sun. It's on my things to do.
Yes.
I want to read it so badly.
So I've listened to the audiobook. So if anyone isn't aware, Midnight Sun is the book Stephanie Meyer released a couple years ago, and it's Twilight from Edward's point of view. And it's like 700 pages long. It's insane. That woman has released the same book three times, because she did Twilight, she did Midnight Sun, and then she also did Life and Death, where she swapped the genders. So I fucking respect. Look,
wait, is that?
I can't agree with it, but I respect what she's done.
Do you know, like, what's mad is like the amount of stuff, and we'll get onto this, and we've already spoken about it in a few of our episodes, but like the amount of stuff that's come from Twilight, because you've also got 50 Shades of Grey. Like, let's never forget that is fan fiction about Twilight.
Twilight really changed the cultural zeitgeist. And look, I can see that it is not a great movie, but equally I think it's genius. And I can see it has problematic issues, but equally I love it. But like, at the time, they were so big. And I really think the reason like all teenage girls were obsessed with it is because it was made like by women. You know what I mean? Like, the first Twilight has a female director, and I really think that's why like so many of us responded like so insanely to it, because it's not a good film, but I do think it's made like with the female gaze in mind.
I think
a
also,
cinematic masterpiece, yeah, if you will.
Yes. I do think that.
I think also Bella's character, and I don't love Bella. I think she's, you know, she hasn't got the world's biggest personality. She has some questionable moments. But I think part of her character being quite bland, and that maybe that's too mean a word, is that she could kind of be anybody. Like, anyone could step into those shoes and be her, especially if you're 13 and want to be like the I'm not like other girls trope.
Yeah, definitely. I know what you mean. She's clumsy. She's got loads of personality. She falls down. That's her thing.
She falls down and she reads. That's what she likes.
And she reads. Oh my God.
I'm Bella.
You're Bella, Alice. Just watch out.
Some weird men are going to be after you. I also just want to say, I do think Twilight has been a little bit like culturally reassessed in recent years, because it was so cool to hate on it back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, people literally carved out like YouTube careers making fun of Twilight, and which is like, fair enough, it's silly, but also it's not really for them, if that makes sense. But like, now I think we've kind of appreciated the camp, unintentional comedy that it is. And it's one of like the highest rises in Letterboxd, which means like from when it was like first reviewed to now, it's like gone up the most, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's not the same ilk, but anything that teenage girls or women go mad for, people love to make fun of. Like, One Direction, Harry Styles, Taylor Swift, Twilight. Like, I'm not saying they're all like different things. People just love to make fun, and it's like, no, they're good. They're just maybe they're not made for you, and that's fine. You don't have to like them. Not like Taylor Swift is made for teenage girls, but you get what I mean.
But back when we were teenagers, she definitely was. You know what I mean? She was marketed towards teen girls, and she was made fun of relentlessly. You are so right. It's everything teenage girls like is made fun of, and it's not the same for the things boys like. We always talk about the fact that, you know, men don't think it's weird that they get dressed up every week and see football games because that's what they like, but heavens above, they see women having the time of their life at a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah. And like, dressing up for it and being like, that's so weird, why would you do that? But then like you say, God, I hate football. I'll say it at me. I hate football and I hate football lads, but they are renowned. They're fine. Everyone loves them.
It's less grown men paying cash. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine that you enjoy it, but it's like fundamentally silly, as is Twilight. Let me have Twilight.
Yeah, exactly. Let us be. You have your stuff. We have our stuff. It's fine.
Sorry. So where do you want to start talking about it? Should we start talking about... We could start with maybe Edward. How do you guys feel about Edward?
Oh, God. I think because I was always Team Jacob, like the more and more I watch it, the more and more I hate Edward. Like I do completely agree with you that like I don't think Bella should be with Jacob. And I think Jacob is incredibly problematic in himself, so more in the other films, but like, God, he's weird, and like the first impression he gives off makes Bella think that she smells really bad. And she smells so bad.
Like, it's crazy that the meet cute in this romance movie is they meet, and then he thinks that she really smells bad, but then actually it's that he wants to eat her.
And he thinks she smells so bad he needs to move classes. Like, he can't take biology anymore.
It's so funny. I really think one of the successes of this movie is that it's cast incredibly, incredibly well. And you know, you only need to go on to look what the cast has done to understand that. But the overacting, particularly in this film, is so funny, because when Bella walks in and Edward smells her, he's like basically holding his nose going, pee you.
Honestly. Also, I just like the way he flits around, like, it's so hard. I know Bella calls him out on it, but like the way he flits around, whether or not he needs to know her, should keep his distance, like how he feels, how they interact. I'm just like, my God, pick a tune and stick to it.
Mm-hmm. Also, and not to be superficial, but Robert Pattinson's a good looking man, and the Cullens are meant to be these sort of superhumanly good looking creatures, people. Their entrance, and especially Edward's, who are these? They look bizarre.
They look so... What are they all wearing?
What are they wearing? Why do they... Oh, it's also like they've changed like their colouring. Like Nikki... It's Nikki Reed, right?
It's
her.
It's Nikki Reed. Yeah. Who is married to... I've just forgotten his name.
Ian Somerhalder.
Of Vampire Diaries fame and love.
We love it. We love a mix. She is like beautiful with brown hair, and the guy who plays Carlisle is so fit with brown. I don't think it's just like the colouring of their hair, but like it's the way they do the lighting. But like these are, as you're saying, like genuinely really attractive people when you see them outside of Twilight, and everyone's like fawning all over them, and you're just like, what's going on here? Also, imagine if we walked into a room, right, and we walked in pairs, not together, not speaking to each other. We always just stuck to our pair, because they arrive in three separate cars to school all day, every day, and they walk in. It's like Rosalie and Emmett, Alice and Jasper, and then Edward by himself.
I love it. Iconic. Give it. Can we retrospectively give it an Academy Award?
Just for the entrance of like Emmett standing on a car walking in.
Oh my God, Emmett. Oh God, I have so many things to say. Like Emmett in the car, the cafeteria scene, amazing. Also at one point in the cafeteria, because they're the most obvious vampires in the world, because they look crazy. They have a house color scheme. They also sit at a table strategically sat so everyone can see them, that they're not eating. And also Emmett at one scene has a full bag of eggs.
Sorry, what?
He has a bag of boiled eggs.
I don't think I've ever noticed that before.
Surely he has powers of observation. He can be like, I will get a decent meal and not look ridiculous.
He's going to eat his eggs.
Got to eat his eggs.
That's actually mad.
Needs the protein, eh?
He needs the protein. He's a growing boy. He's huge, to be fair.
He is.
But do you think Edward can like read people's minds of like, they're just like, what the hell are they doing?
Oh, this is the great thing about Midnight Sun is he reads, because it's Edward's point of view, you also get the point of view of all the characters. And literally, he is so funny because he's such like a little freak and a weird little virgin. He'll literally read some like random woman's thoughts and the woman will be like, oh, Edward's quite fit. And he'll be like, another whore is vying for my affection. What? Existence is agony. Not like in those terms, but he literally like gets repulsed that people say he's attractive.
God, he's so weird. It's just like he's so forceful the second like he can't read Bella's thoughts. And he's like, what's in Jacksonville? What's happening? Tell me everything.
And like, if he could read Bella's thoughts, he wouldn't be interested in her because she is the horniest human being alive. Like, this movie is just two people open mouth staring at each other. It's so horny.
What did you guys think of the kiss scene if we're talking about two horny people?
I think it's definitely a kiss scene that teenage girls want to see.
This is what women want. It's a sexy little scene. I won't lie to you.
It's the longest build up.
I can see there are a couple of things. I think because I'm in such a Vampire Diaries mindset. And there were just two things, and that was one of them where I was like, oh, it's like the Stefan scene. And I know the Stefan scene was after, but it's like the Stefan scene. Mm-hmm. And just to pivot for 1 second, but there was also a scene, I think, where Edward's staring at Bella in the parking lot, where he has such high hair. I think it could rival Stefan Salvatore. But sorry, back to the kiss.
No, that's fair. He does have hero hair.
He does have crazy hair in this. I kind of agree with Ellie that everyone looks a bit terrible in this movie, which is really funny because like I now literally fancy Kirsten Stewart so much and I fancy Robert Pattinson, but like in this movie I don't at all, and it's not that I've aged, I don't think I ever fancied them. I don't think I ever fancied Taylor Lautner either. Like I just enjoyed these movies not because I found the people attractive, just because I love cinema. I love good films. Like Twilight.
You love a cinematic masterpiece. That's what you love.
I do. No,
I agree. I only found Jacob attractive come New Moon. And that's partly because he's shirtless the whole time. And in jorts. Completely agree. And with Kristen Stewart, I like didn't see it for ages how beautiful she was. It was like only past Twilight that I was like, oh gosh, this woman is like very stunning. And I think the same with Nikki Reed, and the same with like all of the Cullens, really. Or it was me being very confused, being like, this guy's Cedric Diggory. I fancied Cedric Diggory. What is going on with this person? I'm so confused.
I don't know how we want to do this. Should we? We could maybe go through our rules and maybe that would spark. So as we've said, like, we love to watch all the Twilight movies with drinking rules, so we came up with like a few beforehand, and it was always Alice's job to read them out so she could go through them now.
I'll do my duty. So the Twilight drinking rules are: 1, drink when Charlie is undervalued.
Oh, Charlie.
Number 2, when Anna Kendrick is the best character. Have a drink when Edward is being cold. Have a drink when they're staring at each other for at least 3 seconds. Bella and Edward. Have a big drink when Edward yells out, hold on tight, spider monkey. Drink when Edward glitters. Have a drink when Catherine calls it a cinematic masterpiece, as you do. Drink when Ellie says she loves Cam G.
Cam Gigandet, he's in the OC.
That's who it was. I couldn't remember that one. Have a drink when they look like they're doing a shit.
There's several difficult poo faces in this movie.
Honestly, I thought that when you said the overacting.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Have a drink when Bella bites her lip. Have a drink when someone mentions Arizona. And lastly, when Bella trips over.
That's the movie.
That's it. Yeah. There we go. Done. Podcast over.
You can tell why we said we had fun, because we were just like consistently drinking.
Yeah. The whole film. It was a lot, to be fair.
Yeah, God, it was.
We've got them out for all the whole Twilight series. We won't read them now, but I think they get longer.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. And if you feel that we've missed any for Twilight that we should add the next time we do a rewatch drinking one, let us know. I don't think it's going to be for a few years, but let us know. You never know. Should we start with Charlie?
Poor Charlie.
Charlie is amazing. He is like just a dude. You know what I mean? Like that guy never feels like he's acting. He feels like he's just like existing. He is just who he is. He's Bella's dad and he seems like the best dad in the world. I love Charlie.
Like he tries so hard, but not in the way that it feels like, oh my God, just like leave me alone. Like he wants Bella to be happy. He wants Bella to like fit in and not feel like she has to spend loads of time with him and like go out and see her friends and have a life there. And he's like tried the sales lady, like helped him pick out clothes and like how to dress her room, and he got her a truck and all of this, and she just treats him like crap.
Yeah. She's so apathetic to him. Like, she's just kind of like, ugh, we have to share a bathroom and I have to, like, live with my dad now. It just seems awful.
But yeah, no, exactly. And she's like, oh, yeah. And I get it. This is part of what was so great about him. He didn't hover. He knew when to leave. And she was like, what's great about Charlie? He doesn't hover. And I'm like, that's a horrible thing to say about your dad. As in, like, he just, I don't know, leaves.
I love the bit where Bella's bringing Edward over for the first time and he's like cleaning his gun and then he's like cocks his gun and he's like, send him in.
So good.
I love that. I think that's my favorite Charlie scene. Either that or the end where she comes back and he's like, you look really beautiful, before she's going to prom.
Yeah, that's cute.
Okay, nice.
The worst one is Bella leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
Because she says, do you remember what she actually says?
Yeah, I wrote it down. Hold on. Sorry, I've got so many quotes of just the weird stuff.
The script is amazing.
Charlie's like, I know I'm not that. It's okay. So Bella and Edward James has come, smelt Bella, they need to run away. So Bella needs to get away and then she has to like hurt Charlie. Well, not has to, but like Charlie's just a bit confused why she wants to leave. And Charlie's like, I know I'm not that much fun to be around, but I can change that. Like we can do more stuff together. And then he goes, come on, I just got you back. And she's like, and if I stay here, I'm just going to be stuck like mum. And like storms.
Oh, that's so awful.
Poor she says some other stuff like, oh, you go to the diner every night and that's not me. And like,
I can't remember in the books. I don't think she says that. I can't remember what she says, but I remember a conversation where she's like, I said the same words my mum said when she left. So it's like the cruelest fucking thing in the world. Like she had that ready.
I also thought, like, why does she know those words? Like, why did her mum tell her like what she said when she left her dad?
I think her mum has boundary issues, to be fair.
Yeah. But I mean, so does Bella.
So does Bella. But because that is one part of Bella's character, is that we're meant to think she's like the most, you know, selfless person in the world because she like basically like raised herself and like looks after her mum who like can't even find a phone charger. So like Bella's mum, I think, is like not a good mum. But Charlie's written as like the best dad in the world.
And also even Charlie, like I think outside even of his relationship with Bella, like you see him really good friends with like Billy. He knows everyone at the diner. Like he's just like a great popular in town guy. Like he'll be silly. He'll be fun.
Yeah. And I think that clip at the diner where they're all like, we've made your favorite. Like she hasn't been back for years. But I think I could imagine that maybe Charlie's been so excited about her coming back and had told people. And they're all just like so excited for Charlie that Bella's back. It's really sweet and he's just like constantly dismissed for the Cullens, and I'm like, oh God, I love Charlie.
Yeah, Bella's got a new vampire family, she doesn't need him.
Right, actually that's a really good segue. She becomes part of the family real quick, like in terms of the Cullens all just doing everything for her.
Well, that's because Esme and Carlisle every day are like, we hope Edward can stop being a weird little freak and maybe find love. Please, please, someone take this weirdo off our hands. Because Rosalie was only turned, Carlisle only turned Rosalie, Edward's sister, into a vampire because he thought that her and Edward would hit it off. And that's the only reason he turned her.
God, poor Rosalie.
Yeah. And then they fucking hate each other. He's not a good matchmaker.
No.
Oh, God, no. No. But like, just Edward and Bella's codependency from day one is just wild to me. And then James comes and the Cullens are like, obviously we'll all risk our lives to keep this girl safe that we've just met.
I was gonna say, it's disturbing because they really make it clear that it's the movie takes place in about a month, because they, like, Bella's like prom's a month away and then prom several weeks after, like, she's been injured. So they have one date and they're like, I love you, I will die for you, you are all I've ever known and all I've ever wanted and all I ever will want. It's crazy.
Yeah, like that whole scene where it's also, this is the scene where she's like, he's like, say the word, say it, vampire, that whole thing. And then it ends, like, he talks about how much he could kill her, like explains how much of a dangerous person he is. And then it ends with, you don't know how long I've been waiting for you. And it's just like,
because Bella's getting turned on while he's talking about how easily he could kill her. See,
it's, if you guys, I know the answer, but like, if you guys were at school and this boy was like so forceful in terms of having to know everything about you and giving no answers about himself, and then made so many hints of like, what if I'm not the hero? What if I'm
and
the bad guy?
And turning up in your bedroom when you're sleeping. He did that before they knew. So freaky.
And then when they're dating, he like tells her that he's been doing it for like a month, like a while, just coming in and watching her sleep.
She's fine with it. She is also so fine that he's a vampire. Like, before she even learns that he drinks animal blood, she's like, okay, you're a murderer, cool, can we shag now? Like, it's mad, the two of them.
She like, it's also such a mad conclusion to jump to so quickly. Like, Jacob tells her one story and she's like, oh god, yeah, he must be a vampire.
Yeah, I was thinking this because I know in The Vampire Diaries we analysed Elena's like realisation and compared it to Twilight, and I think it's a very good comparison. But Twilight, Elena's been dating Stefan for weeks, you've seen so many clips, and I know it's probably also about the in episodes you've got so much longer, but you've seen so many signs that something's off with Stefan that it's like, I don't know, it makes more sense. This realisation is like, demons of the night? Sure.
Yeah, like, well, he's cold.
I will say, it's not so much the realization that I think is crazy, because you've got to remember she did see him stop the van at that point. So making that leap isn't what I think the weird thing is. It's how weird she is, like how fine she is with learning that he has superpowers. Like, he stops the van and she's like, I would never tell anyone. Like, that's the weird bit where she should be freaking out, because then coming to conclusion that he's a vampire, she has seen more than like Elena ever saw, because she saw him literally fucking stop a van, but she just doesn't react to it appropriately is more the thing.
And he gaslights her about it.
He's
like, you hit your head.
Yeah. Oh, you're imagining. I can't remember what he says there. It's
oh no.
But then you have the school trip. See the school trip where they go to like look how compost is made. He's like, it was an adrenaline rush.
Can we talk about the science teacher?
Please, can we talk about the science teacher? I'm obsessed with him. I think he's a real teacher.
He's incredible. How excited he gets over compost tea.
And the golden onion.
Yeah.
I think they also do kind of lads culture a bit well as well, where they're like, oh, they're drinking the tea. Don't drink it. It's compost tea. Or like, hee hee, I've got worms. And I'm like, that's just what teenage boys would do. Like,
No. The character doesn't have worms. He has a worm on a stick. He himself does not have one.
Sorry, I have... It was wiggling a worm at her.
A worm.
Not.
No.
The other.
I agree, Al. And it's like, when she arrives and it's like, my girl, Bella. Like, they're all just, poor Bella. But like, God, it's weird.
This is what I mean. It understands teenage boys from the female perspective. Like, that is what they're like when you're in high school. It's crazy. Like, it genuinely, even the bit where he's like, and it actually might be my favorite line in Twilight, where he's like, la push, baby.
It's la push.
So good. Like, that's the kind of shit they say. They're awkward and weird. Like, I actually really love like Bella's like human friends. It's a shame she hates them and never hangs out with them, because they're such like this weird little gang who like feel real and not like in a creepy, insane way like the Cullens. Like, I want more time with like Jessica and Angela and
I really like, I also really like Bella being like, you can ask Eric to the prom. Like, you're beautiful, you're a great person. Like, he should be lucky to go with you. You should ask him, and that's fine.
Another way Bella is completely relatable, because that's me giving advice to be like confident and powerful, when in my real life I would never do it. Like, Bella would never takes an issue, like an initiation with Edward ever. Like, she never does that.
The only time is when it's sex related. That would be the only time she's done sex.
then she's going for it.
Yeah. But Anna Kendrick is the best character.
Yeah, she absolutely is. Sorry. Ignore me. Keep going.
Have you forgotten what you were going to say?
Okay. I love Jessica. I think she's like, she's so fun and she's so like real. Like, when they, I love the scene where they go and try on prom dresses. She's like, do my boobs look good in this? They do, right?
And at the prom afterwards, and she's like, I know, right? But Bella, like, I don't really get why they're friends with Bella, because she is not interested in the slightest. And then she ditches them and she's gone missing to the point that they've had dinner without her.
That's what I don't understand. Where was Bella's delay? Because they go out into the city. Bella's like, I'm going to go to this bookshop, but I'll meet you at the restaurant. And then she gets, like, you know, harassed, nearly raped, but Edward saves her. But that seems to happen very quickly. Was the delay from her going to the bookshop?
I was trying to figure that out, because she said she'd meet them at the restaurant. Yeah. So, like, I don't really understand, unless Edward was driving her like halfway back to Forks.
Yeah, and I was going to say, maybe they took a drive.
Because he did just speed off.
He did, yeah. It made me laugh, because when he arrived, it was like suddenly dark again. And that's very much like, to his future career, Batman can only be seen at nighttime, otherwise he looks silly. It's like when Edward Cullen rocks up in his sensible Volvo, it's got to be nighttime.
Sorry. I will say, before we get on to the sensible Volvo, because I have so many thoughts, I will say, like, Jessica and Angela's reaction, I do think it's like also so relatable or understandable. Like, if it's a guy that you fancy at school and he's rocked up with your friend, you're obviously gonna be like, no, oh my god, that's so exciting. Like, no, don't worry, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, call us later. Like, that type.
They're so good to Bella as friends, actually. They're really like, you know, take her under their wing.
What do we think of the Collins cars?
I mean, Emmett's, of course, is just so Emmett. It's almost like a tank where it has those three, like, headlights. Is that?
But why wasn't he driving it?
Because he wants to stand on top and wave.
I think it's Rosalie's, or is it Jasper's?
I think it's Alice or Jasper's, because Rosalie's is the red convertible.
You're so right. Yeah, yeah. I think it must be Jasper's. That's not Alice's car.
Why does Emmett not ride with Rosalie then? I swear they all come in their couples.
So he likes to stand up.
He does sometimes, but mainly because he likes to stand up. There's one scene where he's in the convertible with Rosalie.
Yeah, and Edward has the very, very sensible Volvo.
God, it's just...
What's so funny is they treat it like it's a really cool car. And this comes back to the fact that, you know, me and Stephanie Meyer disagree on many things. Women's place in the world. I assume gay people. Many things. But what I love about her is, because she's a Mormon, she has no idea what's cool or what's sexy and what's not. Because she thinks Edward drives a cool car. And she thinks, like, in the book, the car is, like, swoon-worthy. Everyone talks about what an amazing car it is. And it's the same car he has in the movie. And there's also a bit where Bella's wearing, like, a to-the-ankle, like, khaki brown skirt made of, like, a stiff material. And, like, a purple blouse. And Edward's like, you look so delectable. You shouldn't be allowed to leave the house.
Isn't that when he's like introducing him to the Cullens, and that's what she changed into?
Yeah, and he's like, you're too sexy to meet my parents, completely covered up. Because that's Stephanie Meyer's idea of sexy.
Oh, bless her. I mean, if that's people's idea, you go, gal, but not personally. Do you want to talk about our favourite scenes?
Yes. What do you have on your list?
It's the baseball.
That's gotta be up there. It's so good.
Also, I can't hear, maybe this is a sign of how much I've watched it, I don't think I can hear the Muse song without Emmett of being like, babe, come on, it's just a game. That's like in my brain.
Did you guys, whenever you played rounders at school, because we don't play baseball because we're British, so when you played rounders, did everyone do like the Alice leg up to bowl? We did that every time.
We didn't do it. To be fair, I was terrified of my PE teacher, so I was not going to do it. But we didn't do it.
Oh, we can do a summer picnic if it ever stops raining, and we can we can do the leg kick with rounders.
Yes, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, also, they all have their little sports look, and it's all in like the Collins just wear like blue and white. It's so funny, but they all have their own little version of it, and I fucking love it.
And it's all the caps as well. They go to town.
Go all out. Like, really, really go for it. And they even put a cap on Bella.
Yeah, it's cute.
Who do you think is the best outfit, baseball outfit?
I was dressed like Carlisle, which I thought was really cute. They have like a similar little outfit, like he's trying to look like his dad. Which is sweet. But I like Rosalie's the best, I think.
What was the team? Was it Jasper, Carlisle, Rosalie, and Esme? No, Esme's not.
So I don't know how baseball is played. I know there are teams, but I don't know if they were playing. Oh, no, they were playing in teams. I thought maybe they were all just hitting it and see who scores the most points, but they must be in teams.
I thought they had bats and fielders, and then they switched.
Emmett was definitely on Edward's team, wasn't
yeah. And Esme was at the back, so I thought it was Alice, Emmett, Edward, and Esme.
But then why did the two... If Edward was on Emmett... Wait, Edward was on Emmett's team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did they run into each other then?
So I think they were both going for the ball to catch it and bashed and then missed it and then...
Yeah. Did you see the so obvious spot of a trampoline before the jump for Emmett? you've got to watch the scene again. Emmett runs and then so clearly looks at the ground and bounces onto a trampoline and then up.
That's a bit,
it's like hilarious.
Well, the thing about this film is it had a really tiny fucking budget. Like, its budget was $37 million, which for a film with like CGI and stunts is really quite low. Like, they talk about the making of it, like Catherine Hardwick, the director, would be like, she kept having her budget cut and cut and cut. They kept removing set pieces. They kept having to redo things on the day just because they had no fucking money. But then it went on to go make $408 million at the box office.
That's amazing. And then they replace her as director, don't they?
Yeah, it's well, she doesn't direct the other ones, and like, I think it's such a loss. Basically, they couldn't come to an agreement of her terms to do the next one because she wanted a little time between them to like plot it out. Instead, they literally did the press for Twilight and then started filming New Moon, so they did them really back to back. And I think it's such a shame because I think honestly, the vibe in this movie is insane. It's so like weird and eerie. The blue filter is. It changed my life is amazing, and the fact that's removed is so sad.
Yeah, it's like, it really kind of sets such a tone for the film. Mm-hmm. I also thought what's really interesting, and it's not like it's bits of scenes, but I love the predator angle where they're like filming from the predator's point of view, and you've no idea what it is. But they also do that again when people are being hunted throughout the film, and I think it's really cleverly done. Like, you feel scared watching it
because you actually never know until Bella says like vampire, you actually don't know that there are vampires.
Yeah,
like you don't know what it is, because it starts with a deer being hunted. You see it like go to a person, to be fair, but like, you don't know. Charlie says it's an animal attack. That's such a good point, Al.
Mm-hmm.
And the villains are so on that animalistic angle. Like, even when you meet like the trio of like the bad vampires that are hunting people, they're so animalistic. They're like so different for, like, the Collins are weird little freaks, but they're like not human, the villains. They're so different, and like, I have so much love for this actress, I don't know her name, but who plays Victoria, because she's so fucking cool. She has leaves in her hair, she literally moves like a cat. Like, she feels so not human.
Does she get replaced?
She gets replaced. I actually looked into this. So she gets replaced by Bryce Dallas Howard in the third one. So she is quite a famous actress. You will have seen her in like the new Jurassic World. She was in an episode of Black Mirror. She's a good actress. I like her. But she was offered this role for this movie, and she turned it down because it was too small a part. And she's Ron Howard's daughter, so she's from like the industry. So she hadn't had a lot of work then, but like, her dad is like one of the most famous and successful directors of all time. So she was always going to have a career. So she turned it down because it wasn't a small part. And then they gave it to this new actress whose name I can't remember. I'm very sorry. And then for the sequel, they said she couldn't do it for scheduling conflicts. She could do it and she was available to film the movie. And then Bryce accepted the role for the third one when Twilight had already been a success.
Ugh,
that's so bad.
Yeah, I think this actress has really done the dirty.
I also think, like, not to throw shade on someone that I don't know, but I'm going to do it. Like, if you turn it down because you think you're too good for it and then it becomes successful, like, that's your own fault and you've made your bed and now you've got to sleep in it and you can't, like, just turn around and be like, give me the role now that you're successful and I didn't believe in you.
Yeah, and it's not that I think she's a bad actress. I just genuinely think she's much worse in the role. Like, she doesn't suit it nearly as well. It's a shame.
Yeah.
No, I think you're so right about Laurent and James. Well, particularly James and Victoria. Like, they play with their food, the way that they just, like, mm-hmm. look at people and treat them. It's just like, Count Gigandet, I think, is great. He's good in really, like, evil, not evil, but just like, you can't, yeah, his role in the OC, he's not a good guy.
What does he do in the OC?
He kills Marissa.
Oh, you have told me dun, this dun, before.
In your defense, I went on for like 30 minutes.
I once made the mistake of asking Ellie, oh, how does Marissa die in the OC? And then Ellie proceeded to talk to me through three seasons of the OC, and at one point I think about
in detail
about 20 minutes in I went, yeah, but Ellie, how does she die?
And I was like, oh, she gets hit by a car. That's the only answer that Catherine needed at the time.
That was all I was as a I one liner
also, bless you, it was like the middle of the working day, wasn't it?
Hey, as far as my company, if anyone is listening, I wasn't listening to Ellie. I was working hard, I wasn't paying attention. You were getting your money's worth out of me.
No, sorry. This is what I mean. Like, I think you were genuinely trying to work, and I was like, and then this happened, and then it's so sweet because there's this, and there's this really great scene with this song, and you're like, I don't care. But that's what he does. He turns Marissa into a drug addict, and then he kills her.
Jesus,
so, you know,
not
bad boy,
good guy. No,
not a good guy. But what I was wondering with Cam Gigandet, do you think him and Robert Pattinson are good friends? Because that scene in the ballet studio, where Edward like bites James's neck and they're like strangling each other, they're both like open mouthed, like tongue out, like just so close that I feel like you have to be quite comfortable with someone.
And two men open mouth, tongues out, gave you the vibe of just good friends.
I was like, they just have to be comfortable, sure.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I think you just have to get on board with it, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess they're professionals. I'm not an actress, so.
Apart from that one episode of this podcast.
Yeah, I pulled out all the stops for that, and that was that.
We haven't told that, but there is one episode that we've released into the world where we lost Ellie's track, but we had like what she said, so Ellie like acted and re-recorded it very kindly. So if you can tell what episode that is, it's probably pretty obvious.
Please don't let me know.
It was lovely acting.
We should have credited it with Ellie playing Ellie.
Oh my god, Alice, it was so sad. I was like sat here after work by myself, just like,
literally being like,
I wrote out the script.
Oh my god.
Like, that's so funny.
It was amazing.
Oh god.
Any other favorite funny little scenes? What do we like about this?
I like when Edward tells Bella, or when Bella finds out he's a vampire, and two, in inverted commas, repulse her, he goes into a glade in the woods and shows her his shiny side, and I just find it so funny.
Yeah, great.
That's so good. It's a fucking wild scene. It's like, you need to see what I look like in the daylight, and then he just glitters. He's a disco ball.
I don't get what he's trying to do. I don't know if he's trying to really actually be like, I'm amazing, because he says just before, he's like, everything about me is to invite you in, and then it's like, you've got to see me, and then he's like, I'm repulsive, and then just glitters, and you're like, are you trying to be like, I'm repulsive but look at me, or genuinely?
I haven't thought of this till you said that, Al, but you're right, everything about them is to draw it in. So does Stephanie Meyer posit a world that humans are like magpies and are attracted to shiny, shiny objects?
Yes.
Maybe, probably.
We have to talk about the sparkling. Look, people have made so much fun of it. How do you feel about the sparkly vampires?
To quote Benoit Blanc, it makes no damn sense.
Compels me, though.
Excellent. Yeah, those are my feelings. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know if it's how they do it. in the movie. Because I feel like from the books, it's like, oh, they glitter, like they look incredible. And I feel like this glittering is just, I don't know, questionable.
They do change the effect.
They do change the effect. To defend Catherine Hardwicke, no one can make that look cool. They're sparkly, sparkly vampires. Like, it's silly. It's silly.
Doesn't Bella just go something like, you're beautiful?
Yeah. She's a freak.
Bella's so on board. She's so on board with this. It's ridiculous.
Look, it's stupid, don't get me wrong. But it's kind of so campy. I love it. Like, why do they sparkle? It's silly. I think it's so fun. Like, and at least in this movie, they fucking sparkle. Because they do change the effect, Ellie, but they also then just stop using it.
Yeah, that's so true.
They just ignore the fact. Because the later movies, because they get rid of Catherine Hardwicke, they don't have the same vibe. And every movie that comes feels more like Hollywood and like buffered than the last one almost. Like, by the end, they're like so smooth. Like, there's no edge to them.
Oh, God, yeah. No, that's
but the
so
edge,
true.
I feel like, makes it.
It does.
It does. I do like a vampire world where, like, they're not killed by the sun. Like, they'll expose themselves in the sun to people will be like, what the fuck's happening here? But they're not, like, stuck as creatures of the night, where it's like in Vampire Diaries, they need the daylight ring and things like that. I quite like that. I don't really get why, of all the things that they have to do, they have to sparkle. Like, I mean, I agree, it's hilarious watching it, and it's like, it's great, but like, it makes, like I said, no damn sense.
No damn sense.
No.
One of my absolute favorite scenes, thank you for asking, is sorry, is when Bella goes to visit the Cullens for the first time. And oh.
have you seen Maisie Peters react,
no,
like done a skit of it? Oh, I'll send it to you. It's hilarious.
So I love when they're like, it's Rosalie being like, is she even Italian? And they reply with, her name's Bella.
I love it.
They've cooked her this meal and they found out that she's already ate, so Rosalie smashes.
It's so petty. It's great.
It's so petty. Also, Carlo was like, it gave us an excuse to use the kitchen. They don't ever have anyone over to their house, and I assume they're incredibly wealthy. Why do they have a house without a kitchen?
Because also Edward doesn't have a bed. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they're not like trying to make their house look like... Do you reckon Edward ever feels like a sad little virgin when the other couples move in their like crazy sex beds? He's like, just the box for me.
I just actually don't get why he spends it. And because also he can read their thoughts, so he must be like, he must not want to go. Because also I wrote it down in my notes, like, Edward invites Bella over to meet his family, and then they spend the whole time on the top of a tree in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
I do think we don't, and I, to be fair, I also said we didn't spend enough time with Bella's friends, but I don't feel we spent enough time with the Cullens, because I don't think you really like got them really, apart from like Alice is a bit weird, and like
Alice's introduction is so good.
What's her introduction?
It's just when she's like, she walks on through a tree and she's like, we're gonna be such good friends, and it's like, Jasper, don't worry, you won't hurt her. And Edward's like, what?
I love Alice.
Edward's acting, like Robert Pattinson acting, I do think it's so good. He's like, clearly such an embarrassed teenage boy who's brought this girl over to his family, and his family's being weird.
And Bella is just deadpan through Alice.
Yeah, no emotion.
But no, I do agree. I think in the books you see that like Bella has a really good relationship with the Cullens bar Rosalie. Like, I freaking love Emmett.
I love Emmett
so much.
Yeah, I love Emmett. While we're on the Cullens, I feel compelled to say this. In canon, Carlisle is 23 years of age. Could you imagine if we at 27, the three of us, got together and adopted a bunch of horny teens? That's crazy in itself. Never mind doing it like 4 years ago.
God.
We still get ID'd. Like, we got ID'd at the pub the other week. Like, we clearly don't. I'm not trying to be like, we look
we're
so young.
So but, like, young, we... guys. We're aging so well. Not a day over 21.
But like, we clearly don't look old enough to have 5 teenage children. So like, how does Carlisle and Esme?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Who all date each other.
I mean, everyone does think that's weird. when they introduce
but
them.
But not weird enough, Ellie. They're like, it's weird, but they don't respond appropriately.
Not weird enough, because I feel like even in that initial diner scene, one of them's like, it's weird. The other one's like, but they're not related. I think Jessica says they're not related. I can't remember which way around. But you're like, it's still weird.
It's still so weird.
And also, the town fucking loves Carlisle. He should be a social pariah. But he goes to the school and they're like, hi, every time it's sunny, I'm going to take my kids out of class. And they're like, you can't do that. But he's like, well, I'm hot and I'm a doctor. Off you go then.
I'm going to take them camping. And he seems to have a good relationship with Charlie when Bella gets like almost hit by the truck. And he's like, the sheriff's daughter's here. I'll come mm-hmm. like.
Everyone oh, in the town
I love
fucking
that scene with
him.
Charlie though. The scene with Charlie in the hospital. Like... And that guy, and he's just like, shots a curse. What a great dad. Sorry, just ode to Charlie.
Oh, no, it is. He's so funny. I like when he puts another pepper spray in Bella's bag. Yeah. But yeah, no, everyone should hate Carlisle. But they don't.
They just love him. And he doesn't come across, no offense to this actor. You're in Twilight, so I love and respect you forever. My joy to you. But he doesn't come across as charismatic in any way, shape, or form.
The most charismatic, I think, was when he was like the sheriff's daughter's
name. You're right, actually. You are right. You are right. But the other time but he also looks, as you said, he looks terrible with blonde hair.
I've seen photos of him like on press carpets and he's tanned with this brown hair and he looks amazing. He's like the opposite of Viggo Mortensen. Mm-hmm. I can't pronounce his surname.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's like the opposite of that, I would say. But the also, I wrote it down, but like, you know when Edward's like sucking the venom out of Bella, and we can go on to that scene in a bit more detail. Carlisle is just like, Edward, stop, but like so passively. He's like, you're gonna kill her so passively. And I'm like, Carlisle, you could maybe do a little bit more here to save Bella's life.
Let's talk about this now, because like I feel like Carlisle was like, because Carlisle has never drunk human blood or has like the best control ever. So like would be able to stop drinking her blood much easier than Edward, who like her blood is his own personal brand of heroin. But for some reason...
She finds that attractive as well.
She's turned on by everything he says. It's weird.
It's messed up.
But he's like, oh, I've got to do all this medical stuff up here. Why not like, I don't know, give Edward a go on the medical stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he gets rid of Alice as well, doesn't he? He's like, Alice, you can go. And all he's doing is like strapping a belt. Not all he's doing, he's like strapping a belt around, I was going to say Edward's leg, Bella's leg. I assume, does Edward have a medical degree? Have I made this up?
I think that too. But then I was like, maybe I'm getting him confused with Stefan.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
But he'll know, he's been to university over and over again. He'll know a bit.
I'm Googling it.
I would just rather trust him like, doing the stuff, not drinking the blood, than Carlisle, who I've now remembered he has drank human blood because he's done it to turn all the Cullens. So he has no problem stopping.
Yeah.
Right. And in Midnight Sun, he says he has 2 graduate degrees in medicine.
There we go.
He's got 2.
There we go.
There we go.
So he very much could have done the leg stuff.
He's never worked a day in his life.
Well, that's true. But he like, yeah. Also, it's so like, why is it up to Edward whether she's turned into a vampire or like, and I wrote this down, like with that scene, it does drive me a little bit mad of just like, Edward would rather risk, and I know it's like his own personal view of how he views vampires and it's like losing his soul and all of that, but like he would rather risk genuinely killing Bella because he doesn't know if he can stop than letting her turn into a vampire knowing that she would be like with him forever.
Mm-hmm. The women don't have agency in these stories.
Oh God, no.
Also, look, again, I'm going to talk about Stephanie Meyer. I do feel like all the women have really tragic backstories. Because like Esme was like abused by her husband. Alice was like held in an asylum. Rosalie was like gang raped. Like they all have these horrible pasts.
Rosalie's story is like so incredibly upsetting. Mm-hmm. And then she kills them all, and then all she wants is to be human with a baby. Like that's all she wants in her life, and she's like so unhappy. And it's like, well, not she. I mean, she loves Emmett, she's sad, but like she doesn't want this life. And like how Carlisle found her like dead on the side of the street after, as you said, being gang raped by this guy that she thought loved her and all his drunk friends. It's just like, my God.
Mm-hmm. And he saved her to just like give her to Edward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring the vibes down.
No, but it's true. And it's like, it's just like, he's so controlling. It's like when Jacob comes at the end of the prom and Edward's like straight away, like won't even let Bella speak to another man.
Yeah.
Not that Jacob's a man. He's like very clearly a boy at that point, but you know what I mean?
Let's talk about Jacob. We mentioned him a bit. You were team Jacob. Where do you stand, Albion, on Jacob?
So I think when I read the books, I was team Edward, and then I watched the films and I was team Jacob.
Interesting. Did you fancy Taylor Lord? I wouldn't have picked him as your type.
I think it's because I didn't really fancy Taylor Lautner, but I think I found, I think it's in a good way for his acting, but I found Robert Pattinson's portrayal of Edward very creepy. I think especially when I first watched it, so I just couldn't get behind him as a romantic interest, whereas I could Taylor Lautner. I think also because from the books, I don't think Edward seems significantly older. I know he is, and he does in some ways, like when you're talking about kind of his past and some of his interests and things, but I think watching it, they almost, like, Jacob is maybe more of a relatable teenage boy versus Edward, who seems very much like a man in some ways, like he's an old soul, I guess. But yeah, I think I'm team Edward in general, because I think those two weirdos deserve each other. But yeah.
Also, I will say, like, I don't think I realized when I was younger how toxic Jacob is as well in the later books. Like, both are incredibly toxic relationships, and he doesn't really give Bella a choice. He's like, I'm the right choice for you, and even if you, like, I will wait for it. And I just find that so creepy and pushy, and it's like, even if you love this woman, like, let her make the choice, even if you think it's the wrong choice, like, who are you to know? You're not in control of this woman.
And look, they're both awful, but like, for me personally, I just feel you're unlikely to meet a creep like Edward in real life, because he's so weird. Whereas Jacob is like that real kind, like, there are men out there that, like, we know, like Jacob, that are that kind of like pushy and almost like incel-y, like being like, oh, I treat you well, so you should give me sex now. You know what I mean? Like, he feels
more
real as a bad guy to me, which is like, I think why I've always, it's not actually that I dislike, I actually like Jacob as a character in New Moon and Twilight. I think he's a good character in those. It's just in Eclipse, he gets really awful.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And Breaking
Dawn. That's so true. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. And then he falls in love with a baby, and I cannot support that.
Oh God, I mean, no, it gets
everyone just brushes it off. Like, I know we're not talking about Breaking Dawn, but everyone just brushes it off.
No, it's worth saying though. A man falls in love with a baby.
Yeah. A baby that's named after the Loch Ness monster.
It's such a ridiculous plot line. Yeah. I also think I get recency bias with watching it, you know, when you've kind of watched the one that's like you've just seen, is a lot fresher. Like, when you're talking that through, and I'm like, oh God, how could anyone be team Jacob? He falls in love with a baby.
Yeah.
I will say, because I think Stephanie Meyer did that because she was always so team Edward. And I think she always kind of didn't like that people were like kind of split 50-50. So I don't know. But part of me wonders if she was like, well, I'm going to take that character that you love and I'm going to make him fall in love with a baby, and then you'll feel stupid about liking him this whole time.
Yeah. Or I think she also just like, she just had to give him like an ending where it was like, he wasn't just like, even though Bella was a vampire, that he wasn't just like pining after her for ages. But I think she made Jacob so like obsessed with Bella that like him just meeting someone else wouldn't have been enough. He had to imprint on a baby.
Like, God,
that's the line he had to take.
One thing
when we're talking about Jacob that I genuinely had never picked up on before is when he comes to prom. Also, how weird if Bella had no backstory to this, like if she wasn't in the loop about who Edward was. Her family friend comes over and said that his dad paid him to come interrupt her prom and make her break up with her boyfriend and being like, we're watching you. If she didn't know what was going on, wouldn't you be like, this is so weird?
Jacob doesn't know what's going on.
No.
Yeah, why does he do it?
Maybe the money must be good. How much do you think it was?
It was 20 bucks.
He says 20 bucks.
He says 20. That is not enough money to do that interaction.
No. But Edward says, I never like picked up on it. I thought he was just talking about like boys, but he was like, I leave you alone for 2 minutes and the wolves descend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I was like, oh, that's, yeah, I see.
Unsettled. I feel there's got a few unsettled like comments like that. And obviously Edward knows, but I also feel like Mike says to Bella, he's like, oh, you and Cullen. He looks like you, like you're something to eat or something along those lines. And yeah. It's just what, some of those like unsubtle references that tickle me now.
They're so, also, it's like, because we've spoken about this comparison obviously so many times, but like in Vampire Diaries, Stefan's so unbelievably unsubtle about who he is, but there isn't like an Italian family that are policing who does and doesn't know about vampires. And the fact that there is in Twilight, and Edward is still so unbelievably unsubtle, like Bella finds out so quickly and he just like exposes himself straight away, you're just like, what?
I think they're way more unsubtle than the Twilight than the Vampire Diaries vampires. They're they are freaks, they are weirdos.
Their eyes change color all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when I was about to say Stefan, when Edward is like, oh, I've broken all the rules anyway, and he comes in with Bella and they come out the car and he's wearing sunglasses.
Great scene. That's one of my favourite scenes.
I love the scene. But here's a question. He's wearing sunglasses. Is it sunny? Is he sparkling at school?
No, I think he's just trying to look cool.
He looks cool.
Because the rest of the Cullens are there and they wouldn't be there. But he's like a bad boy. He's like, I don't care anymore. He steps out of his Volvo with these sunglasses.
Yeah, great scene from that.
I just remember, like, as a kid, like, thinking there was nothing cooler than Edward putting his arm around Bella, like, and walking into school. Oh my god, it was amazing. I still think it's cool.
I freaking love it. And I love Angela, like, with the camera and then being like, oh my god.
So good. I don't think the later, I do like the later movies. I don't think any of them have that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, the energy of this one is so fun. It's so high school. It's so like weird tonally. It's high camp, but it's also really creepy. Like, I love this movie.
Cinematic masterpiece.
It's a cinematic masterpiece.
That it is.
Oh, it is a good time.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any other bits they want to mention?
Oh, I had one question about the end, right? So you know how it ends and Victoria's there and looking down at them dancing at prom?
Yes.
And when they walk in, you can see her at the, like, if you know what her outfit is and how her hair is, you see her like in the corner. I appreciate there's a lot of people in the room. Surely Edward could read her thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to kill Bella.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, 100%. You're so right. Yeah. Does she wear like a weird little cardigan to prom?
Yeah, like a furry.
Yeah, I hate that.
Thing. Yeah.
I do, because I've read Midnight Sun, I will keep bringing it up. But like at the end of Twilight, he promises to stay with her. But like in his mind, he's like, I'm going to have to leave her soon. She cannot be with a monster like me. So actually, like, having read Midnight Sun, I'm like, this ending isn't like a happy ending. He's like planning to dump her this very moment, like while he's dancing with her.
I feel like you get that quite early on in You Moon, though, don't you? That it wasn't true. Although,
but you think that's just because of, like, I think in You Moon you think it's because of the party and Jasper, almost like,
yeah. It wasn't that. It was fucking planned by him. Like, he was always going to do it.
Yeah, he did try to in the hospital, didn't he? And this is when I was like, they're so codependent. She was like, no, just a little like panic attack.
Can we also acknowledge that Bella is so clumsy? Everyone just accepts that she somehow like fell down a flight of stairs and out a window, and that's why she has all these injuries.
Right. So I was going to ask, did they break a window somewhere?
Yes, they did.
To make the story believable.
Well, like, Alice,
does that happen in Midnight Sun?
Yes, I think so. Alice did it. There's like, they go into the, because the Midnight Sun's so long, they go into everything. They go into all the logistics of it.
Love that.
I would say you think it's insane that they believe that she was so clumsy that that's what she did. If I came to you guys though and I'd broken my leg and I went, oh yeah, I fell down a flight of stairs and through a window, would you believe me? Because I feel like maybe you would.
Yes, but you would have a bite. She has a bite mark there. Like, it's because it's like, mm-hmm. James bit her and then I probably would, Alice, but maybe I don't know why you'd have such
the
a big
mark.
Like, gash. Yeah.
Out a window is with... No, if you fell down a flight of stairs, to go out the window, you must have been travelling at such force to break the window. Like, that is insane to do. Like, I do believe there is a situation where you could tell me that you've injured yourself and that you've, like, broken and sliced open your leg. Of course, you're very clumsy. But I just don't think it's, like, down a flight of stairs and out a window. That seems nuts to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And then does she fall? Is she also meant to have like fallen down?
My view was that the window's like, I don't know, you've got the flight of stairs and she comes down and she just keeps going.
Oh,
and the windows,
see.
You know how like you have, you know how you have one where you go around?
Like down the stairs.
Yeah, you know when it's like the ones that go down,
yeah,
like round. I think it's like there is how I pictured it. But like also, I'm not going to keep going on about how toxic this relationship is, but from Bella's mom and Charlie's perspective, Bella's had this, she's moved to this town, she hasn't been there for very long, she started dating this boy, they've had such a bad breakup that she wants to leave. He and his dad don't even leave her for a day. They drive down to convince her to come home. She really badly injures herself and then she's happy to start dating him again, and then in the next book he dumps her shortly after and she freaks out for like a four seasons because we've got that amazing revolving shot. Like, how as a parent would you feel about your daughter dating Edward?
Good.
No, but also, I mean, this must be a couple of weeks in. She says she is unconditionally and irrevocably in love with him. Can you imagine as a teenager being dating someone at school for even triple that amount of time and saying anything like that? Or quadruple.
I think some teenagers do. Look, I don't want to get into to you, Alice, personally, but I think some teenagers say that after that amount of time.
Oh, honey, yeah. I could see myself, yes, definitely. But mine was like Ryan Atwood from the OC. There wasn't any boys at the school that I went to. But yeah. But no, it's a lot. Don't get me wrong.
It's too much.
It's God. It's, yeah. But I think also the difference is like, I think there's like, if we'd look back at like the anyone that we would have been like in love with at school, like you just liked them, whereas like I think for Bella and Edward it's meant to be like, yeah, this is true love, and they've fallen that quickly with like barely having two conversations with each other, as opposed to the idea of like puppy love or teenage love. And that,
do we have any final thoughts that we want to share?
What a film.
I think it defines a generation. I think it defines my life. I think it's the only form of therapy I'll ever engage in.
What about Taylor Swift?
They don't turn to them in the same way, mainly because I turn to Taylor Swift every single day of my life.
That's actually so fair.
You know what I mean? Like, I when I feel bad, when genuine awful things happen to me, let's not go into it, I have to watch Twilight.
It's such like a time, whereas mine is the BBC Pride and Prejudice.
Oh god,
and I feel atted
by a certain movie.
Sorry, Al.
Oh no, it's given me a new impetus to read Midnight Sun.
Yes, I will say, guys, it's long. You know, if you're going through some tough times, I think what I would do is I would come home crying for various reasons. I would read Midnight Sun and then I would come down the stairs and I'd tell my lovely flatmate, not these guys, and I'd be like, Edward spoke for 20 minutes about how Bella's so interesting because her favourite colour is brown. And I'd be so overjoyed by that.
You're so cute.
I don't know if coping mechanisms are cute.
Whereas me, I'm like, listen to me for 30 minutes, tell you all three seasons of the OC.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because when things get bad, I put on the OC soundtrack.
Yeah. Or you like to explain Taylor Swift's dating history to people that are largely uninterested. Me, but other people we know.
Oh, so uninterested. And I'm like, wait, but listen. My poor boyfriend, when he's just woken up in the morning, and I'm like, wait, no, but this is the lyrics. And he's like, I don't care. I really don't care.
So we normally go to our stats segment. Can't do that because we're not talking about the Vampire Diaries. Did you keep stats?
I guess we could track them. Any deaths? One, two.
I thought you'd kept way you reacted there made it seem like you'd actually noted down the deaths.
Well, it doesn't even do that when we watch our actual program.
I know, which is why it surprised me.
I always forget. I'm sorry. I can always count them back, but
it's because you're finishing it 5 minutes before we start recording.
I've been better recently. I watched this yesterday. I was finished by 4 p.m. the week before. I watched both episodes the day before we recorded. I'm really growing.
You are proud of you.
Okay, so I was gonna say we don't have stats, but I do have some trivia for you gals.
Oh yes, please.
So several actresses tested for the role of Bella Swan, including Lily Collins. I don't know why I wrote this woman down. Oh, I know who she is. Lily Collins, Michelle Trachtenberg. Do you know who she is? She's not Dawn in Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Georgina in Gossip Girl.
I love her.
And
she could have been good.
She could. It's so hard because I think Kirsten Stewart actually is perfect because Bella is so boring and so deadpan. But also auditioned is a little actress, I don't know, by the name of Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Oh, no one's heard of her.
I wonder if she went on to do anything else.
I don't think so.
Was she right for Bella?
I've seen an interview with her where she talks about that she got Hunger Games like straight after, and it makes so much sense.
Yeah, she's much better as Katniss than Bella, I think. The final three for the role of Edward was Jason Rathbone, who is Jasper. So he was very nearly Edward. And Ben Barnes, I don't know if you know Ben Barnes. He was Prince Caspian. I've always really fancied Ben Barnes.
Oh, I fancy him so. He's also Dorian Gray. Like, he's really good as a creepy. God, I fancy him so much. Yeah.
Stephanie Meyer's dream casting for the roles was Emily Browning, so Violet Baudelaire from a series of the movie.
Yeah.
And Henry Cavill.
Interesting.
He's too old.
He was the Edward type.
No, yeah. He was always too old.
But
he
also,
was like
he's
25.
Just not the right. I feel like he wasn't the right vibe. And I'm sure he could have acted it, but like, I also feel like just his whole persona is wrong for it. I don't know.
I agree. He wouldn't be who I would pick. You can see.
Who would you pick?
If I had to pick someone else, I don't know any actors around that time, is the problem. I do think Robert Pattinson was right. And, you know, he's gone on to be very successful. He's Batman.
Exactly.
He's doing very well for himself. So I think it's well cast. Would you change anyone?
I'd maybe change him. But I do agree. I think he gets better and it's like really iconic.
Well, I just don't know if you can play it better. It's more that I just don't think the role is very like, I guess he plays it very creepy. Maybe you could like think it's attractive with a different guy. I don't know.
I think it's tricky because I think almost like part of the joy of watching it back now is that he is creepy and not attractive, like in Twilight, not attractive. I think if you're watching it as a teenage girl, like if I put myself back in the shoes of watching it at the time, I maybe would have wanted a slightly more romantic Edward, one that seemed a bit less creepy. But now I wouldn't change him for the world.
Because also in my head I was like, oh, maybe you can find someone more attractive. But they are actually objectively attractive people. It's just like... they're attractive in normal life. It's just like the pale, like the makeup that they put on them and the filters and everything.
Just everyone in it makes really weird choices and I don't want to lose that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask if the actor who played Jasper, do you think he knew so many baseball tricks? Because in the baseball scene it's just constantly him with a new like baseball bat move. And do you think he asked to do them?
Oh, now you've said it. Yes, I do.
Meanwhile, Taylor Lautner was constantly practicing with his little like nunchucks that he uses. Like, can we work these into the script, please?
And they're like, no, we'll put it in a Taylor Swift music video, but no way in hell are you putting it
10 years later. You're not putting it in for ages.
Oh, bless him.
Also, Stephanie Meyer is in the movie at the 1:12 mark. You can see her next. She can see her on a laptop ordering a vegetarian sandwich at the diner. So she's there.
Fun fact.
And finally, the script of Twilight went through a lot of rewrites. When Catherine Hardwicke was first on board, the script featured... a scene where the FBI chased down vampires and Bella on a jet ski.
I really wish they'd kept that in.
What are you struggling with there?
It's not in the book.
So I from what I understand, like, they were really aiming for this to be like, I don't know if you've ever seen like the Blade movies, but for teens, because that's about like, oh, like Buffy the Vampire. They were aiming for more like of an action comedy almost, I think. And that's like what the script was going for. And then Catherine Hardwicke read it and she was like, this is bizarre. I'll read the source material. And then she read the source material and she was like, okay, we're throwing this out. I'm hiring a female writer who wrote on many episodes of the OC, Ellie. The writer of all the Twilight movies wrote for the OC. And we're doing this properly.
How did I never know that?
I don't know. She did a few episodes of the OC. And she wrote, The writer stayed for all 5 movies. So it's the same writer for 5 movies.
Oh, that's good.
Which is why the script stays weird.
That's true.
Just how we like it.
Fair. But I think that's about it. So this was an extra special bonus episode to, you know, for the summer holidays. Fun in the sun with Twilight.
Tide you over till our next joy.
Yeah. You're welcome, guys.
We will be back the first week in September with season 2 of The Vampire Diaries. We're so excited. We've just taken a little break to get on top of our recording schedule so we can give you more episodes weekly, basically. But in the meantime, you can contact us. Does someone want to tell the listeners how they can do that?
You can DM us, follow us, whatever you want to do on Instagram at Missing Mystic Fools Pod.
You can just about find us on Twitter at Miss Mystic Pod.
It's not called Twitter anymore. Not to date this episode. They've rebranded it as X today. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. You can find us on X.
Don't say X. We will not cave to that man.
You'll find us on Twitter with its nice little bird symbol at Miss Mystic Pod.
Yeah. I will not cave to him.
No, I think that's very fair.
I hate him. Yeah. And you can go onto your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars if you love Twilight, or you can rate us 5 stars if you don't love Twilight. Either or, those are your 2 options. Thank you very much. We'll be back soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.